Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
First off, we have Craig Lindsay, Head of US Operations at Resolution Minerals, ASX code RML. Camera on for Craig once he's ready to go. Resolution is a copper and gold explorer with a strategic portfolio in North America focused on projects that align with the growing global demand for energy transition metals. Craig brings deep local expertise and leadership in advancing RML's exploration strategy in the US, and today he'll be sharing an update on the company's progress and upcoming catalysts. Craig, how are you now?
Hey, I'm doing great, James. Thanks for having me. Well, it's fantastic to be here with you today. You're looking absolutely sharp with a jacket and tie. I'm up here in the mountains of Western Idaho, and there are not a lot of jackets and ties, so I apologize for that.
So making the time at the time of the day for it is. I'm going to get out of your way and let you do what you need to do with regards to RML. Please tell the story, and I'll come back to you in about 10 minutes, okay?
Fantastic. Well, look, I really appreciate you having me on, James. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone who's here with us today. My name is Craig Lindsay, CEO of U.S. Operations for Resolution Minerals. Resolution is listed on the ASX under the symbol RML, and we're also trading on the OTCQB market in the U.S. under RLMLF. What I want to talk to you today is about our Horse Heaven project, which is a tungsten, antimony, and gold project located in Idaho, and it's immediately adjacent to the recently permitted Stibnite mine in the United States. While you're listening to this presentation, I have just put up this disclaimer. Please review it while you are reviewing any of these materials. I only have 10 minutes, so I'm going to fly through this, but I'm going to talk to you about kind of seven things today. What makes our RML special? It's commodities, number one, antimony, tungsten, and gold. The U.S. Department of the Interior, as James mentioned, has just put these, all three of these metals on the critical metals list in the United States. Antimony and tungsten in particular are critical to United States national security. I'm going to tell you about how we're immediately adjacent to the Stibnite mine, which is Perpetua's gold antimony project, which is in the process of being financed and is going to go into the production in the next couple of years as a large open pit operation. We've got an amazing team I want to talk to you about. I also want to talk to you a little bit about the aggressive stance we're taking on moving this project towards production. This project is backstopped by gold, which is going to be a big feature of this discussion. And we are well-financed. We've recently brought on Roth Capital to list on the NASDAQ market. One of the critical pieces you're going to hear about today is the subject of antimony, super critical. It's a big piece of the defense spending market in the United States. The United States has no antimony production currently, and China has banned the export of antimony to the United States. So that has created a critical supply issue for the United States. Our project, it's 14,000 acres. As I mentioned, it's in Idaho, right in central Idaho. It's right adjacent to Perpetua's recently permitted Stibnite mine. And just as importantly, this project, and I want you to keep this in the back of the mind, we are a past producer. We produced antimony in the First World War, Second World War, and the Korean War. And we produced tungsten from a mine on our project starting the 1950s right up to the 1980, the period of 1980. We are fully permitted for a drill program that just started up this month. So I want you to keep that in mind. We've got antimony grades that have been up to 19% on our project. We are, as I mentioned, we are aggressively taking a stance with respect to moving this project aggressively down the pathway from an exploration development story through to a path through to production. One of the things you're going to hear about today is how we are doing some work knocking on doors in Washington with the U.S. Department of Defense to get some support from the U.S. government. There's a couple of key targets at the Horsehaven project. Number one is Golden Gate. Number two is antimony. Both of these targets have produced historically. Golden Gate was the site of an open pit tungsten mine that then, after going open pit, they then went underground. And again, that produced from the 50s right up until 1980. And then Antimony Ridge is where they produced antimony in the First, Second World War and the Korean War. And that was from an open pit. So those are the two initial targets that we are focused on. They make up a very small portion of the 14,000 acres of our land package. And there's a little, this is a district-wide story with lots of potential to grow our story, but we're starting out at Golden Gate and Antimony Ridge. Antimony Ridge itself, where we're starting to drill right now, we've had grab samples out there up to 7 grams per ton. Historic drilling on the project, they only went down 150 meters. That was the deepest holes. You'll see some grades here in the 1.5 to basically 1.4 to 1.5 grams per ton in between 40 and 70 meters. That's within 100 meter plus intercepts of lower grade mineralization. All of it's oxide. It's never been drilled at depth. So one of the things we're doing this year is drilling 300 meter holes. So we're going to go, the historic operators always were looking for open pit heap leach oxide material. They'd drill down, they'd hit the oxide sulfide boundary and they would stop drilling. There has been a couple of historic resources. So these are non-JORC, non-43-101 compliant resources out at the Golden Gate target. And the couple of estimates are between 100 and 300,000 ounces of gold there. Again, they never, when they did that drilling, they never tested for tungsten. They never tested for antimony. As I mentioned, we've just started right in this area at Golden Gate. We've started a 6,000 meter drill program. We've already got one drill out there and we're hoping to get another drill out there in September. Team. Project number one, that's how you're going to make money. Absolutely. If you don't have a project, you don't have anything. But the real critical thing with any project is the people. And forget about me. My background's investment banking, corporate finance. I've been involved in taking a number of companies from grassroots right up to sale. But the guys that you're going to really make money on our technical team. Bill Breen is an Idahoan guy, Freeport MacMoran. He's worked with Teck. He's worked with Newmont. He's been involved with the Horsehaven project for over 12 years. Absolutely fantastic geologist. A lot of gray hair, a lot of knowledge. Alan Roberts is leading our drill team. 30 years of exploration experience in the Western U.S. We've got a fantastic permitting guy in the U.S., a big part of our business is permitting. So having a strong permitting guy on board is very important. I also want to point out Austin Zintzer. Austin is a consulting geologist to us. Why he's important to this story, he has spent 12 years as a resource geologist at the Stibnite mine next door. So he understands the rocks that we have intimately. I also want to point out Brett Lynch, Steve Prominet, who are Australian guys who have been involved in taking ASX-listed deals to NASDAQ from under $10 million market caps up to over $1 billion market caps. They've been brought on board to help supercharge our efforts to fast-track developments at Resolution. So fantastic team. Antimony, I want to talk briefly about this, or the metals that we're into. Antimony is at all-time highs. Gold is running, as everyone knows. Tungsten pricing is very good. So we've got supply crunches for these things and accompanying strong prices. Antimony, it's really for us, it's all about the defense market. It's about the U.S. ensuring a domestic supply of this critical metal. They don't have any production today. China's cut them off. And so they are pushing hard to return to some production in the United States. Whoops. Tungsten, another important metal that we're involved in. Again, it's a critical metal that, as announced by the U.S. Department of the Interior, production is tight. Demand is going up. Again, it's a defense metal. It's critical to the United States. They have a big push on for domestic sources of supply. So again, with antimony and tungsten, we're in the right place at the right time. I'm getting close to the end here. We've got a $70 million market cap Australian, 1.2 billion shares out. At the end of June, we had a little over Australian 1 million in the bank, but we've got a $7 million credit facility that's bridging us through a financing. You will have, perhaps if you cover our company, you will have heard about this $225 million bid received for the Horse Heaven project from Snow Lake. Snow Lake owns 5% of the company that they bought in the open market. They put in this non-binding and indicative offer. We are going through a process reviewing that, and we will provide guidance to the market as we complete our due diligence. U.S. presidential action, the big, beautiful bill that Trump has come out with, and in his words, the key thing to remember here, it's focused on critical metals. He's put $6 billion into critical metals production, everything from exploration right through to recycling. So we are in the process of trying to capitalize on some of that money. What we have done, we've engaged a lobbyist out of Washington, D.C., a company called Thorn Run Partners. Thorn Run is going to be helping introduce us to the Idaho delegation. So that's the Idaho congressman in Washington, D.C., as well as to the Department of Defense, the Department of Energy. These are the groups that are putting money out, and we'll be taking our story to them. And hopefully we'll get a request to submit a grant to provide some non-dilutive capital to fund our project. The other thing I did mention to you, we are pursuing a listing on the NASDAQ market. We retained Roth Capital to assist with that process. So really lots on the go with our company. Very exciting time. Again, it's gold, it's tungsten, it's antimony. We're past producers. We've got some very strong grades. We're in the middle of a drill program right now this year. You're going to see a very large drill program next year, and we're aggressively positioning ourselves as a future producer of antimony and tungsten in the United States. With that, I thank you very much for listening to that presentation, and open it up to any questions you may have.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much for that, Craig. And it is a fascinating story, especially with regards to the historic nature of the space, being able to supply the U.S. military with, since World War One, was it? I think that you mentioned going.
Yes, there. Yeah.
They produce, and hopefully not World War III. But it's if just in case, I think that everything is there, especially with regards to the tungsten and everything else that you mentioned in that particular space as well. The other question I wanted to ask, I did actually have someone had sent something through, and thank you very much everyone for having as well. Oh yes, with regards to, you've engaged Roth Capital Partners. I've always got and our people, you've got an expression as well. You can have the best idea in the world, but if people aren't actually buying the stock, then what's the point? You've engaged Roth Capital Partners to support this NASDAQ listing. As you mentioned, it's coming up. How important is the access to capital from the US to be able to grow your business and to be able to maintain a presence there?
Well, that's a great question. And it's obviously very important. I want to take a step back and say that we've been very, very happy with the reaction that Australian investors have had to the story. We've had some fantastic support that's been demonstrated by some price appreciation, some good liquidity in the stock. But going forwards, we will need a significant amount of money to aggressively advance this project. The U.S. market, with all due respect, dwarfs the American market or the Australian market, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, simply because our project is based in the United States, there's going to be a natural level of interest from U.S. investors in our project. And then the fact that we are going to be looking for support from the U.S. government in the form of grant money, that also is a reason to be in the U.S. market. And Roth Capital itself, well-respected group, they actually cover Perpetua Resources from a research perspective. So they understand this project really well. And I think they certainly haven't said this, but I'll tell your listeners right now, our geology is exactly the same as what they have at the Stibnite mine next door. And I really refer to it as Stibnite 2.0. I feel that strongly about the geologic potential that we see out there.
Well, that's a particularly bullish way of putting it. I do like that. We've got a neurology play coming up with something in similar geology. Does really say a lot about the exact holding that you've got, and that there's a lot to be brought into it. I've had a mention from someone who's coming here. Just clarify for us the Horse Heaven project. The market cap of your entire company appears to be less than the valuation of that particular project. Does that sound right?
Well, relative to the offer that we got from Snow Lake, yes.
Which is the way that you would value something. I'm just saying that as a deep value buying the actual company on market right now, you're effectively buying it at a discount to one individual asset. That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I just want to quickly say, you use the term neurology. We don't use the term neurology. With our project, I actually use the term exactology. We've got the exact geology as the Stibnite mine next door.
Excellent. I don't mind.
It's just a postology play. It's an exactology play.
Not a problem at all. So we're expecting more details out from the Snow Lake Resources bid for Horse Heaven. There is details that's coming out on that.
Yes, it's going through a process. That's correct.
You yourself have quite a gift, or I suppose whatever you wanted to call it, for being able to shift companies along to find value and to be able to find a purchaser. That's often very important with regards to the small cap space in mining. What were some of the some of your past achievements in that particular regard? I think that some of the shareholders and some of the potential shareholders might like to notice some of these wins that you've had in the past.
Sure. Well, the first business I founded and sold was a business in Asia. I started my career in Hong Kong and built up a business in the tech space from scratch and sold it to Li Ka-shing into a company called Tom.com that turned out to be the number one IPO ever in the history of the gem market in Hong Kong. Secondly, from a mining perspective, I started up a company called Magnum Uranium, which was developing sandstone-hosted uranium deposits in the western U.S., built that up and sold it to a company called Energy Fuels, EFR, which is now listed in New York as well as on the Toronto Exchange, and it's the only conventional producer of uranium in the United States. I next took a company called Otis Gold, which was developing a project in Idaho, an exploration project, built it up to a 1 million-ounce resource, put a PEA in place with 100,000-ounce-a-year production profile, and sold it to a company called Exelon. I've been around the block. I've done this before. Anyone who's listening, sometimes you hit it out of the park. Sometimes it's not always so pretty, but I've always taken an approach with developing a company, even if it's an early stage exploration company. How am I going to get this into production? And I start thinking about every step you need to take from a exploration or like delineation of resources to the permitting, to the technical studies, to the economic studies, who are the likely buyers. And if you don't go down that road with the blinders on saying, I'm going to put this into production, you often don't get to an M&A transaction. And that's always been the approach that I've taken, and it's worked for me.
Have we got? We got one more question. Can you comment on the overall share structure? Now, you did mention on this as well with regards to the options that are outstanding at the moment. I know that you can't answer directly, but there's a belief that the business may be raising capital raising in the next 6 to 12 months.
I think that's, we've got a big program in front of us. We're going to be drilling 6,000 meters this year. I want to drill 50,000 feet next year, like 20 to 25,000 meters. So we are going to need capital to grow this business aggressively. Part of it, we hope to come from non-dilutive capital from the U.S. defense industry. And part of it will come from capital markets, conventional capital markets.
Okay. So that's as answered as I think that question could possibly be. Thank you very much, Vin, for putting that to us. Now I am actually going to move on. I believe that we've got, it's time to go. So thank you very much for joining us for this one, Craig Lindsay, from Resolution Minerals. Cheers. And I'll let you get a good night's sleep. And I suppose you're back out looking at drill rigs tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you. Really appreciate it, James. Thank you. Appreciate everyone listening to me tonight. Thank you.
I hope to see you in Vancouver in a couple of weeks, okay? And we'll put something together then.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Good on you. Catch you later, mate.